الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My most respected friends, brothers and elders in Islam, we are in the month of Shawwal, the month of Ramadan has just elapsed, and we are moving towards the Mubarak days of Hajj. Soon the Hajis will be getting ready to leave, and the rituals of Hajj will be fulfilled. In the life of a mu'min, there is no stagnation. After one event, then there's a second event, a mu'min should be preparing for it. As far as those who are not going for Hajj are concerned, then they should understand that they are in the days of Hajj. The months of Hajj are Shawwal, Zulqadah, and the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. These are Mubarak times, and the mu'min should be proactive, and he should be enthusiastic all the time, trying to see how he can gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prepare for akhirat. So this was the highlight in the lives of sahaba, is that all the time the sahaba ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in were preparing for akhirat, preparing for that day where they would have to meet Allah. So among the very great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every Sahabi was great. But among the galaxy of Sahaba, there were those who were among the highest ranking Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained special virtues regarding these Sahaba. So among these Sahaba, one special Sahabi, his name was Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was among the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. And he was very close to the Nabi of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him dearly. He mentions the narration of Musnad Ahmad that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand and he told him, Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuk. Oh Muaz, I love you. Imagine the Nabi of Allah telling this Sahabi this. Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuk. Oh Muaz, I have a lot of love for you. Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala responded by saying, Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah. May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Nabi of Allah. Inni la uhibbuk. I also love you. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that after your 5 daily salah, never forget to recite this zikr. Allahumma inkrik wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, I seek your assistance. Assist me, O Allah, upon your remembrance, upon your gratitude, and upon fulfilling the ibadat that I owe to you in the best manner. So this was the advice that the Nabi of Allah gave him on one occasion. Then the time came where the Nabi of Allah, the land of Yemen, has entered into Islam. The Muslims in Yemen require some guide, some governor, some qazi to rule over them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam divided the land of Yemen into two parts. On one section, the Nabi of Allah sends Abu Musa Shari radiallahu ta'ala to govern over them. And the other section, the Nabi of Allah sends Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi was very close to the Nabi of Allah. Nabi says, even mentioned in one hadith, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامُ مُعَازُ بْنُ جَبَلْ. For my Sahaba, those among my Sahaba, the one who knows halal and haram very well, you can refer to him as a reference point. He's a mufti among my Sahaba in issuing fatwas of halal and haram. So the most knowledgeable from my Sahaba is Muaz bin Jabal regarding halal and haram. This is what the Nabi of Allah mentioned. Can you imagine? Now Rasulullah is dispatching him, Nabi is sending him off. It was a very touching moment. That the Sahabi now is separating the beloved, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says that I was mounted on the conveyance and the Nabi of Allah was walking on foot. Rasulullah made me sit on the animal and he walked on the ground, and this is how he was now seeing me off. Many Sahaba are also present with them, and they leave the outskirts. The Sahabi is now being sent as the ambassador of Islam, the governor of Yemen, appointed by none other than the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says that it was very difficult for me, being seated on the conveyance above and Rasulullah walking below. It was very difficult. So I mentioned, O Nabi of Allah, either I come down, I walk on the ground, or either you mount the conveyance and sit with me. It's difficult for me to move in this manner that I am above and you are walking on the ground. That is, neither am I going to mount the conveyance and nor are you going to come down. He says immediately he obeyed what Rasulullah's instruction was. What his heart wished and desired was something, but obeying the command of the Nabi of Allah was something else more important. But the Nabi of Allah did this intentionally to show all those around his high and esteemed position that Rasulullah confers upon him in deen. So that when this news will reach the people of Yemen, that this is the man of Rasulullah, the messenger of Rasulullah, the ambassador of Rasulullah, and they also will show him that recognition, and they also will afford him that honor and that position. So now Rasulullah is leaving him, setting him out. The Nabi tells him that, oh Muaz, ya Muaz, لَعَلَّكَ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ هَذِي لَعَلَّكَ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ هَذِي. That perhaps after this year you won't meet me. بَعْدَ هَذِي وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبْرِي. The next time you come to Medina Munawwara, you'll pass by my qabr and you'll pass my masjid, but you won't find me. Allahu Akbar. So Hazrat Muaz, when he heard this, he knew that this was an indication. Rasulullah is giving him indication. This is the last meeting between us. فَبَكَى مُعَازٌ جَشَّانْ لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Muaz radiallahu anhu broke down there. He began to weep and cry bitterly, profusely, over the separation of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until it became difficult for the Nabi of Allah to look at his face. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his Mubarak countenance towards Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah looked at Medina and Muaz radiallahu anhu is crying. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, ya Muaz. And this was the golden words, golden advice for Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala and for the entire ummah, for myself and yourself also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, ya Muaz, inna awliya'i al-muttaqoon man kanu wa haythu kanu. That those that you are grieving over the separation, I'm going to be in Medina Munawwara, you're going to be in Yemen. It's a very, very long distance away. But remember, physical distance is what not what it does not Physical distance doesn't count by Allah. The thing that counts is the spiritual closeness or the spiritual distance. Physical distance, you can be in Yemen, I can be in Medina Munawwara, but you can be enjoying a very, very special and close relationship with me. So, inna awliyai, those who are most closest to me, my friends, those who are, enjoy a very, very close proximity and a close relationship with me, are those who, whoever they may be and wherever they may be. You see, Abu Lahab was the uncle of Rasulullah Sallam. He lived in close proximity to the home of Rasulullah Sallam. He was in the land of Makkah Mukarrama. The family of Rasulullah Sallam, Makkah Mukarrama, his home is so close to the home of Rasulullah Sallam. But he caused taklif to Rasulullah Sallam. So he was most distant from Rasulullah Sallam. And Yahya said, Muaz radiallahu ta'ala is so far away. But he has the taqwa, the fear of Allah, the teachings of Rasulullah Sallam, the sunnah in his heart, in his life. So he was close to the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi Sallam is explaining that those who are closest to me are those who bring taqwa in their lives. And then among the advices, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told him at that occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, O Muaz, ittaqillah haythuma kunt, wherever you are, always fear Allah. Wa atbi sayyat al-hasana tamhuha. If perchance you fall into some wrong, some sin, then apart from seeking tawbah from Allah, asking forgiveness, quickly do a good deed. Do a good deed. The goodness of the good deed will expiate the sin and wash out that sin, the evil effects of that sin from your heart, from your life. Make tawbah also and try to make amends quickly. You made a mistake, show Allah that you are trying to change, that you love Allah. You're making amends for the wrong that you have done. So say, fear Allah wherever you are. If you do any wrong, then quickly cover it up with a sin, with a good deed. It will wash out the evil effects of the sin. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, وَخَالِقِنْ نَاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And when you have to deal with people, then deal with good character. Be soft, be gentle, be kind, be respectful in your approach, and fulfill the rights you owe to people. So the Nabi of Allah is giving him parting advice. One is fulfill the rights of Allah, the taqwa, and improve your character, treat people, speak to people politely, gently, fulfill the rights that you owe to people. How comprehensive advice the Nabi of Allah is giving him. These two aspects are important in the life of a mu'min and very, very significant in order to expedite the journey of love and to reach Allah. If a person doesn't have taqwa in his life and does not fulfill the huquq he owes to people, bring good character, then instead of earning, he'll be losing all the time. Whatever he earned in the month of Ramadan, in seconds he'll lose it. Why? He doesn't have taqwa. Now what is this taqwa? Some translate taqwa as the fear of Allah. Some translate taqwa as refraining from sin. Some translate taqwa as righteousness and piety. But all about the same. When a person fears Allah, then he'll refrain from sin. And at every moment he'll do what Allah wants. So in other words, the crux of this taqwa is that every moment you should be cognizant that Allah is watching you. I'm answerable to Allah. I must speak, I must do, and I must fulfill what Allah wants from me at every moment. Now this, we look at the lives of the akabir, the sahaba, tabi'in, or buzuganadin. You see, what is this taqwa? Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, traveling on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. So it was mountainous terrain. And there were certain people that were also with Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu sees one shepherd and he has a flock of sheep or goats. He was herding them and it was out in the pastures, a small little orchard. So he called this person, he spoke to him, and they had some food, so they offered it to him. So the shepherd said that, no, I'm fasting. I can't partake of this, I'm fasting. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, in this scorching heat of Arabia, at this time, herding the animals in mountainous terrain, fasting. So he said that, yes, I'm preparing for the hereafter. Where Allah Pak speaks in the Quran, kulu washrabu hani'an bima al-khaliya. When a person goes to the akhirat, and the days that he fasted in this dunya, when he was free, whatever time he had available, he utilized that time in good deeds. Allah Pak will say, now eat, drink and enjoy for the days that you pass in the world, worshipping Allah, fulfilling the rights of Allah. Now enjoy. So he says, I'm preparing for the hereafter in the days that I have now, referring to this ayat. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't sure. He said that, let me test this person. He says that I'm fasting, I can't eat, I'm preparing for akhirat, you know, whatever available time I have in my life. So, you know, is he as good as he seems to look and seems to appear? Or is he just putting up an act? So he didn't have evil thoughts, but he wanted to test him. So he said that, see, you got all this flock of sheep here, goats. Why don't sell us one? We'll give you the money. We'll slaughter it. And we'll also give you a portion of the meat that you can make iftar also with. And your master won't even know. Just say an animal came and devoured it, a wolf came, something came, took it away. What is he going to know? You see, this shepherd had such fear of Allah in his heart, he didn't want to continue the conversation. Immediately he turned around, he pointed to the sky, and he says, Ain Allah, Ain Allah, Ain Allah. He said it continuously, Ain Allah. He says that, you're saying that I must now tell my master this, and I can come out of the situation, we can steal this, I can take the money, and my master won't know, but where is Allah? Where is Allah? He continues saying, Ain Allah, Ain Allah. It had such an impact on his heart. Abdullah bin Umar was so affected. He immediately went back to Medina Munawwara. He made inquiries that who this shepherd belongs to, who is his owner. So he told him that he's from certain family, so and so person owns him. He goes to the master, he says, I want to buy this shepherd of yours, the slave, I want to buy the flock you have, I want to buy the orchard, I want to buy everything. He said, okay, no problem, this is the price. He bought everything. Abdullah bin Umar, he goes to the shepherd, he says, I have purchased you, and I purchased this orchard, I purchased the flock, and I have freed you and gifted all this to you as a gift from my side. So he had taqwa in his life. Allah blessed him with barakah. Today everybody is looking for barakah. Allah Pak put that barakah, not in the rands and the cents and the dollars and pounds. Allah Pak didn't put it in the holiday resorts and the holiday trips. Allah Pak put it in his fear, in the taqwa, at every moment to be cognizant, to be concerned that my Allah is watching me, I should fulfill his hukuk and his rights. When a person has this taqwa, he's a different person. People around will also witness that, no, this man is different from us. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimullah, it's mentioned regarding him. Hazrat was in the airport, had many murids also, certain people, his mutaliqeen, around, his associates. And so Maulana wanted some water, the water was brought, Maulana sat down and he drank it, seated. All the sunnats. And then he drank it in three sips, and with a lot of dignity and respect. So one of the airport workers, he saw Maulana, and he was impressed. He saw a group of people around this pious man, and look at him, he looks different. He's conducting different also. So he quickly came and he said, you know, I'm working in the airport, and I want to know that I noticed you, the way you sat and drank this water was different from people. You know, people have cold drink or water, whatever. He said, no, this is the teachings of our beloved Rasulullah. He taught us how we should lead our lives, how we should do everything. This Rasulullah said, you must sit down, drinking three sips, you must praise Allah, thank Him. So he said that, no, tell me more about Islam. The Maulana told him, but you are working here, is it your off time or you're still working? He said, no, I'm still working. He said that it's not right for me now to preach to you, and for you now, in the time that the airport has employed you, you are doing something else. So it won't be right. But don't worry, I am here for some while. When's your break? He said, my break is time, you must come, I'll speak to you. The man was so impressed at the justice of Islam, the beauty of Islam. He came, he sat with Maulana. Maulana spoke to him and they embraced Islam immediately. Allahu Akbar. Allah make us like this also. And people just look at us with an invitation towards deen. We are invitation towards the Mubarak Tariqah and Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Our words, our actions, our behavior, our character, our living, domestic life, social life, economic life, whichever dimension. If a person looks at us, he just sees the mercy of Allah in the deen of Islam, reflecting from our behavior. Yeah, you see one person mentioned, one alim, he met one of the principals of Greytown, was a teacher, and then he became a principal. So his personal interaction and encounter with Hazrat Baipaja Rahmatullahi. Baipaja Rahmatullahi wasn't a hafiz, he wasn't an alim, he wasn't a mufti. But Allah blessed him with such qabuliyat and acceptance that he produced huffaz, ulama, muftiyan, kiram, around the world. You know, his son, Maulana Ahmad Padia, told me personally, he says that my father was in Arafah during the days of Hajj, and he just lied down during the days of Hajj. And in a dream, he sees one person came with a map. And on that map, he gave him that map, and it was lit up everywhere. So many countries, it was lit up. And he says, this is for you. And by Padre Ramutlali woke up, he was perturbed, he was worried what this dream means. Anyway, when he finished Hajj, he went and met Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Khandeli Ramutlali, who was residing in Medina Munawwara. They mentioned the dream. Hazrat Shaykh Ramutlali told him, inshallah, Allah will accept you for deen. And the countries that you are shown on that map, Allah will make that deen will spread to all those countries. People will come unto Iman upon you. And Allah made it like this, that this man lit up the world. So now this is this person, this principles, he was a teacher, so his personal encounter, he says, by Padre Ramutlali, he's always come to Greytown, surrounding places, he's traveling sometimes alone, sometimes with people, all giving dawat. And whenever he used to come, I used to meet him. He says, and me, I was of a different khiyal. This man says, I wasn't a person joining, you know, the tabliq. I was of a different khiyal. So he said, but because Baipaja was such a humble, such a good man, I always used to meet him. And he also take out time to come and meet me. So when he come, I would ask him, so Baipaja, you came, how you came? Came by car, you came by bus, you got a lift, how you came? So one day when he came, I asked him, so he said that, no, I came walking. He said, from where? From Kranswap. All the way. He said there was no cars passing on the road, so I walked and walked till I came here. So after he spoke to me, then he told me like usual, can't you give me 2 days, 3 days, come out with me? I always would make excuses. No, you know, I'm busy, I got this, that, you know. So my father said, no problem. So he went away. So this teacher sahab, this principal, his wife came out from behind when Baipaja Ramu left, and she told her husband, you got no saram, you got no shame. This man walked all the way from Kranswap, he came. He came to call you, to come out to him in the path of Allah. He said, no, I can't sleep in the mosque, man, you know. He said, in the mosque, he said, mosque, you know, I can't sleep in the masjid. It's too hard for me. Said, no, please, just go out, man. So he said, okay, he followed by Padre Ramutlali. And then he said, you know, I came, I told him, no, I'm coming with you on condition, I'll take my car. We're not going to take lifts from people and that. I'll take my car. I said, no problem. So he says, you know, we travel, and while we were traveling from one place to another place, then I got stuck. Puncher, I had a spare, but I didn't have a wheel spanner. Gravel road, we were stuck on the side. He says, I was fuming, I was worried now, what are you going to do? So on the side of the road, trying to stop the cars, anybody got a wheel spanner to help me? He says, Baipaja Ramutlali, turned around to see what is he doing. He's on the side of the road, the other side, he got his musalla, he's performing namaz. I waited for him, and he finished his namaz, I told him, see, it's not a time to perform namaz, please. Is a time to look for a wheel spanner. It's not a time to read namaz. You know, we must know what to do at what time. I'm on this side of the road. You're supposed to stand on the other road. And we try to stop the cars. We have to get a wheel spanner. Don't you know? So he says, this humble, this man so humble. Allahu Akbar. All the Mubarak tariqah, the sunnah was in this man. He says, humble tone. He said, teacher sahab, we learn from our seniors. We learn from our pious, our buzugana deen. When we want anything, we will take it from Allah. We need this wheel spanner. We need Allah to help us now. We will ask Allah. He said, hey, touch my heart. He said, immediately then one car came, stopped. Allah Pak made all that intizam. Look at this man. He said, then I spent time in the masjid with him. He said, only myself, Baipaja, it was a difficult night. You know, I'm not used to spending night in the masjid. I'm waking up. And then middle of the night, I wake up, I see a man sobbing and crying. I say, what's happening? Maybe he's not feeling well. Baipaja is not feeling well. Maybe somebody passed away. The news of some person's death, demise. So I quickly went up to him, I shook him. Hey, what's the matter? You know, you're crying like this. Somebody passed away. Your stomach is paining. You're not feeling well. Well, tell me. He said, teacher sahab, I'm crying to Allah for your hidayat. I'm crying to Allah for the hidayat of your family. I'm asking Allah to bless you with the goodness that Rasulullah brought to this world in deen and dunya. He said, I was shocked, man. I couldn't believe you get people who can cry in the middle of the night in the masjid for the hidayat of the ummah. So they said, so what to do at which time? The fear of Allah. Every moment when you hear the azan, we come to the masjid. When we look at the cell phone, we fear Allah. The internet, we know we're not supposed to look at the TV. At every moment, the ummah is going to difficulty. How I can assist the ummah of Rasulullah SAW by turning to Allah and crying for the hidayat? This taqwa is what is lacking. And this is the taqwa what we find why the ummah is not progressing today. A person who brings the taqwa, this is the answer to all problems. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ اللَّهُ سَيِّدُ The one who fears Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَقْرَجًا Allah will make an opening from every problem. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ Allah will grant him rosy and sustenance from avenues least expected. وَيَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِيُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا The one who brings taqwa, Allah blesses him with the light of the heart. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ Allah Pak wipes out his sins. وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا Allah gives him more rewards for the good deed he does. Allah's assistance is with him. Everything happens. Why? Because he has Allah, he has Rasulullah Sallam, he has a sunnah at every moment. He knows whether he's dealing with his wife, his children, neighbors, whether he's dealing with his friends, the ummah, whether he's dealing with the kuffar. He says, what Allah wants me to do at every moment, I must do. I must not do anything that will displease me. Allah Pak give me an honor for tawfiq. Wa akhidah wa alhamdulillah.